This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. Gerald Glass, come right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week. Twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts. I already posted the latest episode of the Pop Culture Cosmos, where I give you my review of Dune Part 2, Fear is the Mind Killer. Go ahead and check it out right now. Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football Game Source. Of course, Joe Soro is here, just as Joe Soro. Go ahead and check him out today as OxIT47 at LakersBall.com. Simblades, the company he'll be at all week long. That's his set, Simblades, Simblades with a Y.com. And of course, he hosts on game nights like tomorrow night, Lakers Nightcap with Joe Soro. Also, as well, our good friends, Laker Tom and Jamie Sweet on LakerHolics.com, Empire Jeff TV, who I believe is just wrapping up his show, also as well, Lakers in 5, John McCalion, John Costas, Lakers Corner, and also as well, of course, Clutch Talk. He'll be doing another special episode on Tuesday at afternoon, right around, I think he said 2 p.m. Pacific, so look forward to that. Go ahead and schedule that out there. Plus, also as well, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights. Yo, go ahead and like all these great channels. Subscribe to these great channels. And speaking of liking and subscribing, please go ahead and subscribe today to get the latest notification on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break podcast. Joe, I was commenting back to some of the commenters on YouTube, and I noticed one guy said, "Well, in the first 6 minutes, you guys didn't talk a whole lot about the actual description of the show, a.k.a. LeBron James. It's like last week against the Clippers." And your response is, "Well, watch for more than 6 minutes." And I look back and I was recapping the game because the Lakers looked like crap for three quarters until LeBron saved the day. So I did mention LeBron. And we had a 90-minute show where we talked nothing about LeBron. You just can't make everyone happy, can you, Joe?
Well, LeBron is polarizing that as anyone has ever been. He can amaze and also digress at the same time. He's just a bipolar player, bipolar person. So you might tune in sometimes where we're praising him. At the beginning, at the end, in the middle, maybe in the middle, maybe in the end, maybe not in the beginning, maybe at the not in the at the end, maybe not complimenting him at all. It varies. If you have any idea of this person's career, everything we do when it comes to LeBron James makes sense. Everything. We have no reason to dislike him. The guy came to LA at his own recognizance, and it's like, thank you for coming. We appreciate it because we were dead in the water for two full seasons. And I don't know where we would be. But at the same time, there's this negativity that surrounds him due to his decision-making. Just what it is. You take the good with the bad. It's a cliche, except in this scenario. We actually have to take the good and the bad.
So I ask you, my friend, the reason why I still wanted to go ahead and do a show, because you asked, after saying no, you didn't want to do a show tonight, to thinking about it and pondering it. So I said, okay, the Lakers have probably what I see on paper, Joe, as the toughest 7 days of the entire season coming up. And no, it didn't start off on a good note on Saturday, but the next 7 days are crucial for the Lakers this period. Otherwise, you can pretty much just count them out as 10th and that's it. But with all the other teams that are directly above them, Phoenix, Dallas, and Golden State, all suffering heavy losses and struggling right now, this is the time that the Lakers, if they do have a good week, they can still provide some hope for Lakers fans on gaining some ground in the Western Conference.
Yeah, the loss last night could have put them in a very, very good position. They would have tied the loss column with Golden State, which would have jumped them ahead in the ninth place. They'd be a game back behind Dallas, who was hot for a very good amount of time, and they would have been two games behind Phoenix now that they've dropped from the sixth seed to the seventh seed. It's if the Lakers play the way they played last night, I actually think they would win the next six games if they played like they did last night. I think the only team that has their number right now is Denver. And it was compounded by the fact that Darvin Ham doesn't know what he's doing, he cost them the game in terms of his decisions on keeping certain players in at the end there. You can't stop Jokic, you can't stop Jamal Murray, you can't stop Michael Porter Jr. from shooting, but you could control putting in a player who has been playing the best in his career, in my opinion, even more so than his All-Star year in 2018, because you didn't want to suffer from the defensive end. Here's a little bit of a tidbit. You weren't getting that either. So you might as well at least have the offensive prowess of D'Angelo Russell to play against a team that doesn't seem to miss at the end. And the Lakers.
That's funny. I just want to mention Intel. Thank you again for the super chat, but he had to sweat it out, Joe, because the Thunder were favored by 6 and he put money on it and they won by 8. He barely got that one.
These guys know, these bookies, man, they know how this works.
I've been in that position here in Vegas at the sports books, and man, you are sweating it out, man, especially if you put some good money on it. Go ahead, my friend. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, I use it. It's like a pro golfer, PGA pro golfer, who seems to make those shots that just stick 4 or 5 feet away from the pin on a regular basis. After a while, you just become an amazing shot maker. And these guys call these games as good as you can call them. And that's why they're pros. And if you can figure out the intricacies as a participant in that world, that then you can do pretty well for yourself. I got some inside info on a Yale-Columbia game. I think it was about a week or so ago. And I told my cousins, who are a bunch of degenerate gamblers, online gamblers. I'm like, Utah's going to cover. I'm sorry, Yale's going to cover. So pick them if you want to earn some bucks. Now, the line wasn't too much. It wasn't too big. I think they were favored by 7.5. And I think it was -235, something like that. I go, it's not the prettiest thing, but if you want to make some money, just put your money on it. Put some good money on it. Of course, they won by 8. And one of my cousins, who's a little runt, is like, well, I bet you were sweating it out. I go, I didn't even watch the game. What are you talking about? So anyways, back to the Lakers. The Lakers, should they play the way they did last night, I believe can win most of these games. But that's the question is, when will they be able to? And if they can, that's 5-6 games in a row like that, then they have a very good shot of winning all the games. That's just what it is. But you can't rely on that. There's too many mistakes. There's too many focus issues. I was listening to some sports talk today as much as I could in the car.
Did you hear, because the rumors are starting up, as Sports Baby and Alan have suggested about LeBron changing the plays. Does this surprise anybody that he might do that? Although I noted to Alan, I sure wish he would have changed that play to Cam Reddish in Miami, because we saw they actually zoomed in and the play was for Reddish. It was drawn up right there on the board. So it went to Reddish and we saw what happened there. And you saw me flipping out on that at that point in time. But I mean, is anybody really surprised if LeBron decides to change the play coming out of the huddle, if he doesn't like what he hears from Darvinham or any other coach that he's coached with, for that matter?
Deeper than that, what struck my fancy, if you will, today is we see someone like Jokic dominate game in and game out. This is supposed to be a guy that looks like someone who was picked in the second round. And then you have this genetic freak, Anthony Davis, who can jump out the building, can play offense, can play defense, was a point guard growing up until he hit his growth spurt. Why can't Anthony Davis dominate like Jokic does? That is what hit me today. Why? Why can't Anthony Davis get the ball at the elbow and just carve people up left and right? Is it because he's got better talent around him, Jokic? Is it that? Is there a clean argument there that if AD had Porter and Jamal and Aaron Gordon, KCP, whomever on that team, that he would perform the way Jokic is now? Because that's something that really, really just for some weird reason hit me today. I'm not concerned about LeBron James. We know who LeBron James is. We know what he's going to be game in and game out as much as we can know. But it's weird. I don't know why Anthony Davis isn't just like Jokic, if not better. And that's the part that's puzzling. That's the stuff that today had me thinking. And I was thinking about it for a good hour or so while I was in the car. He's capable of doing that. The question is, why doesn't he do it? I don't know. But it would go a long way in the Lakers going to that level if they could by having him do that. But we'll never know. I don't think there's a, and I'm not dogging Michael Malone, whatever the hell he calls himself. Is he that good of a coach to where he's made this impact? I don't know.
Yeah, but look who he's coaching against. The guy continues to make mistakes.
Jokic is a second round pick. This is the greatest second round pick that's ever played in the NBA. What happened there? Why is it that he can do this? If he was a first-round pick, if he was a top-three pick, you could say, yeah, well, this is what they scouted and this is what he turned into. But this is just weird to me. It's weird to me. I don't understand. I'd like to know that question or the answer to that question.
He's just – his intelligence, his court awareness is probably some of the best that's ever been out there, Joe. It's just – because the guy obviously athletically – that's why part of the reason why he was a second round pick, and you can see it athletically, he's just not there, but his brute strength, his size, and his ability to see things before they happen, and the vision that he has obviously creates a lot of that. But we talked about LeBron And something we didn't note as much as maybe we should have in the post game, because we were so focused on the ineptness of coaching, the mistakes down the stretch by the other members of the Lakers. LeBron did create two crucial turnovers down the stretch. And yes, I understand, you know, 40,000 points should be celebrated, but often there's the focus goes so much in one way when it should be focused on the other at the end. You're right. When it came down to it, it should have been LeBron and the Lakers executing much better on both ends of the ball. They're going to have to be able to be better, absolutely better, with one of the toughest weeks for any NBA team, not just the Lakers, Joe, any NBA team this season in the next 7 days.
Turnovers were probably attributed to the fact that he probably was tired, which is a common occurrence with this Denver team. The Lakers jump out the gate but can't finish. They get Mayweathered by the Denver Nuggets. For those of you that don't know what that means, Floyd Mayweather, especially towards the end of his career, would execute a particular plan where he'd let his opponent, I don't think he punched them out, but he would give them this false sense of security in combination of him kind of gauging how their game plan is. And then once the third or fourth round would come in, he's figured them out. He could see the speed, the angles, all that, whatever it is, and then just start pouncing on them for the remaining eight rounds. That's what the Denver Nuggets do to the Lakers. They know they're going to tire out LeBron. They know that AD can only really play dominant ball at one side at a time. He can't do both. He doesn't seem to have the energy to do both. And maybe that's why we can never see that AD where he could just completely dominate, because he's too busy doing other things. Whereas Jokic is focused more on offense than he is on defense. And because he's so big, he can play defense kind of just being there. Shaq used to play defense like that, although I thought Shaq's defense was very underrated for a good 5 years with the Lakers. But a lot of it is the fact that he is big enough. And of course, Shaq had amazing footwork too to help, where if he did run into a particular guard or forward that was trying to juke him, because he was big and the fact that Shaq did have amazing agility, he could sometimes stay ahead of those guys. But that's the situation that the Lakers are in. They have no depth, really, other than the five starters they have. And if one little mistake is made by the coaching rotation, or if there's a person that's in foul trouble or has fouled out, the Lakers really don't have anyone to rely on off the bench that could cover anybody at the moment. And that's something Denver doesn't have to worry about. They have enough depth to where they can deal with any kind of foul trouble or any player that might not be playing as well as they should. And I think it's also mental. It's mental. It's being tired. It's frustration. It's a lot of things. If I'm talking to the Lakers today, I'm telling them, play like you did last night, but just make sure you put your best five players in the end. Make sure you play your best five, and your best five are your starters. Go with what brought you there. And that's it. There's nothing else to discuss anymore.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
My last movie that I saw in the theaters was the last Skywalker. I know. Condolences to me.
Wow, man. Right. I just had talked about that, and I completely forgot that I saw that movie.
Yes.
It doesn't speak great things about it, I suppose.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching this thing. Truly appreciate it. Joe, again, as I mentioned, this is going to be the toughest week of the season for the Lakers. And again, pretty much for any NBA team. If you include the Denver Nuggets, this is probably one of the toughest stretches for NBA teams, for any NBA team that's out there. But the Lakers, they have it all at home in the next 7 days. So that's the good thing. Do you think they're going to be able to capitalize on these home games and probably, you know, and hopefully, I should say, gain some ground on the teams like with Golden State? They're reeling after that 50-point-plus loss at Boston earlier today. Phoenix has been miserable outside of their victory over the Lakers. Same thing goes for Dallas. Dallas has been struggling as well. They can catch up with these teams if they have a really good week, my friend.
If they play like they did last night and just make sure they have the five best players on there, yeah. If they play like they did last night for the next three games, I could see them going 3-0. They're playing at home. They have a better record at home than they do on the road. They're 21-10. It's not a bad. It's not a bad home record. I think it's actually pretty good considering the situation. And they're one game behind Golden State. They're two games behind Dallas. They could get on a run here. And their focus has to be on trying to get that at least the seventh seed so they can guarantee themselves a playoff spot. Otherwise, they're going to risk playing two very, very risky games.
That's funny because Frank is in there. You know he's a Dallas fan, and you know he's got some pretty bad choice things to say about Jason Kidd. And I was telling Frank, I was going to let him know, and I just put in the chat, it's a dead heat between him and... you know what? I would put Kidd just a smidgen higher right now than Darvin Ham. But then again, probably Frank sees it the other way around. So I wouldn't blame him, by the way. When you're that bad at coaching... From what we're seeing, yeah, it's not a good choice, my friend. Not a good choice.
So what is Jason Kidd doing that's so bad? What's your opinion on that?
I can tell, for me, the reliance on THJ, Tim Hardaway Jr., is their version of Taurean Prince. I think the fact that he is utilized and favored so prominently in their rotation at crucial times irritates the bleep out of Dallas fans. And I'm pretty sure that Frank will probably concur with me on that. Just like the Dwight Powell. I understand they now have enough seven-footers to go ahead and make sure they don't play Powell very much. But yes, it's like they kept on playing Dwight Powell, kept on bringing back Dwight Powell. Dwight Powell, you know, kept finding his way into the rotation, kept irritating Dallas fans to the T. But I would probably say starting with that. But it's also the fact that, you know, Dallas has played pretty good defense since the turn of the calendar statistically, yet somehow they are not finding enough offense outside of Luka and, of course, Kyrie to get it done. They're still losing despite the fact they're playing decent defense.
Would you say that their team is pretty top-heavy?
That's a good question. I did like some of the things that they've done to add, you know, as far as the additions they made. Obviously, getting Derek Lively Jr., I think he's going to be a pretty good center. You've said he's going to be a pretty good center as well going forward. I liked the addition of Gafford to build some depth. They have players that are coming back, you know, off of injury that have helped them out. Yeah, but for still the most part, you're right. It still centers around two players that need the ball constantly in their hands.
So you acquired P.J. Washington, you acquired Daniel Gafford so that you could infuse some kind of talent on this team. The issue is a lot of these guys play the same position or the same they're the same dynamic in this particular offense. Kyrie Irving isn't going to be a defensive stalwart. Luka's not going to be a defensive stalwart. Jason Kidd is a defense. He was known as one of the best defensive point guards.
Well, here's Frank right here. Stop me if you've heard this before, Joe. Frank is saying this about your answer on Jason Kidd. Terrible rotations. No timely timeouts. He loves THJ. Over-reliant on the star players. No offensive scheme. He loves small ball lineups. Where have I heard that before?
Okay, let's talk about that, Frank. Let's talk about that for a second.
I think you could just cut and paste.
Do you want to run a flex offense with Luka Doncic? Do you think that you can run a pick and roll offense like Carmelo and John Stockton used to with PJ Washington?
Well, with Gafford and Lively, don't you have to?
There's a lot of things to incorporate here. The league rules, the league culture doesn't allow you to do any fundamental basketball, it seems, these days. It's very, very difficult because all teams do now is shoot threes. So if you go and you run a 22-second offense, you are going to get 2 points, and then the other team is going to go down the court, shoot a three in 10 seconds, and they just beat you for the last 32 seconds of basketball. Then just kind of keep adding that as the game goes on. That's what the game has created. We're complaining about certain things, but maybe we're complaining in the wrong way. What is it that's going to stop this particular culture of basketball? It's not going to be run a pick and roll, run a flex, try to get the ball down low, milk the clock until you get to 4 or 5 seconds, and then try to attempt a shot down in the paint close to the basket. Those days are gone. So for guys like Jason Kidd, guys like Darvin Ham, who played in that era, how are they going to teach this new era that? How are they going to teach a bunch of players who make about $40 or $50 million more than they do? It's a lot of questions. I'm glad you said that, Frank, because now I'm starting to feel like we're not alone. I'm starting to feel like if you go talk to Washington's coach or the fans in Washington, you go talk to the fans probably in Minnesota in certain nights, they're probably saying the same thing about their coaches when they lose. We're all complaining about the same things. Is it really about the rotations? Is it really about what offense they need to run? Why I got angry last night was, why didn't you have your best player in there? Because you were experimenting, or you thought that this other player who hadn't played in 2 months, all of a sudden in just a few games was going to be able to cover Jamal Murray. No one can cover Jamal Murray. But you know what's cool about having D'Angelo Russell in there? That means Jamal Murray has to cover D'Angelo. Now his energy level is going to be a little different at the end of games. Maybe. Maybe not. But I'd rather take that chance.
Well, same can be said for a guy, because remember, they also played another guy that you just got off of the buyout market in a crucial time as well.
You can't play these guys 48 minutes. You have to figure out your players' tempo or their energy. if you want to say that he needs to figure it out from the beginning to the end, how to use those rotations, how to give these guys certain minutes, that's a difficult thing to do. I have a solution in my head based off of what I've seen in my time watching basketball and the magnitude of this game and how important it was. I would have run the 12-6 rotation. That's the rotation I remember watching Phil Jackson roll with his best players. Play the first quarter, sit the first 6 minutes of the second, play the remaining six of the second, play the third entirely, and then sit the first 6 minutes of the fourth, and then finish the game off. You don't have to do that. I'm talking about the main guys. I'm not talking about the role players. That's how, in these games, I think that would have been a better prep for that. If you're going to play these guys 38 to 42 minutes in a game like this, I think that would be probably a better way to finish. But that's just me. Maybe I'm a little too old school, but that's where I feel like you don't get yourself in trouble by setting things up too incorrectly. Now, as far as calling the timeouts, when Denver was up three and had the momentum, why didn't he call a timeout? Why didn't he stymie that momentum? That's another thing that he really kills himself in.
It's a wonder.
Is this difficult to do? Can he think when this kind of stuff's going on?
Because you got that even quicker than I did as far as calling that timeout.
Hell, I remember Phil Jackson in game 7 in 2002 against the Sacramento Kings. He was calling timeouts after he turned to Rick Carlisle in that game, the beginning. Anytime the Kings were about to bust something open, boom, he'd call a timeout. Call a timeout isn't sometimes about anything other than stopping what might happen. That's really what they're for. And you have to have some kind of pulse detector in your instincts, in your blood for that.
Intel, if you do see me now or when you get back to Vegas, I'd love to meet you, my friend. I'd love to meet you and thank you and shake your hand in person for everything that you've done for us. Absolutely. On behalf of Joe, too, as well. Well, I'm just saying because he's here in Vegas. Yes.
Very nice. I'm proud of you, Gerald.
Thank you. I'm proud of you too, Joe. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, great. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching, listening. Truly appreciated. But Joe, again, it's one hell of a week. You take a look at that. Murderer's Row. I don't want to say it's that, but we're talking about four teams in the next 7 days that are all... none of them are play-in teams as of this point. All of these teams are firmly in the playoffs unless Sacramento falters at some point in time, which the Lakers can help with that because they play them twice in the next 10 days. So I ask you, my friend, can they gain some ground in the Western Conference? Because the teams right above them are struggling as well.
If they play like they did the first 3.5 quarters last night for the next 5 games, they'll win all 5 games. They would have beaten anyone in the NBA, including the Celtics, if they had played like they did yesterday. They're capable of doing it, but not consistently. They don't have a singular focus. It's there, and then it's sort of there. It's there, and then it goes away a little bit. They don't have any consistency. And they, as in, it's hard to be consistent. It's hard to be focused every minute when you're not aggressive. AD is not an aggressive person. LeBron's not an aggressive person. Darvin Ham is a walking corpse half the time. Austin Reeves isn't in a position to be that focused. Rui is a relaxed guy. D'Lo is smooth. There's no killers. Even role players can have an influence. You look at Udonis Haslam. He's a killer. He was a killer for Miami. I shouldn't say the word killer. I thought he was kind of overrated most of his career, but he was the extra pre-workout for the Miami Heat. He was the extension of Pat Riley. Rick Fox was the enforcer. Derek Fisher was that guy that would, in a positive way, have people kind of up. They don't really have anybody like that. Rondo, in a lot of ways, had a little bit of an attitude in the 2020 team. He had an attitude that kind of, I don't know, made you kind of maybe move a little bit. But this team doesn't necessarily have that. You can even say, yeah, Alan, that's a good one. Schroeder had an intensity that resonated. But there's nothing there. There's nothing there that says we are going to get over this and we're going to dominate. We need to win this next 10 games in a row. You might not do it, but have the mentality to go do it. And win 8 out of 10, that's pretty damn good. But they don't have that. It's not there. I don't know if they ever will.
I tell you the rating of these movies, Cool Bro, because you should be only seeing PG-13 and under movies. You're not old enough for R-rated movies. A word from the Lakers Fast Break. All right, my friend. It is, of course, Gerald Glasser along with Joe Sorrell. Thanks so much for watching, listening. Joe, come on. This is going to be a tough series of games. I mean, I don't want to go into this super optimistic. I know a lot of people are going to go in there. They're going to take 3 of 4, no problem. If Laker Tom was here right now, you know what he would be saying, Joe. He'd be saying Lakers 4-0, no problem. And I'll tell you what, if they get through OKC tomorrow night, because OKC, as noted by our chat, the best Lakers chat room that's out there, they are back to leading the Western Conference, despite that embarrassing loss against San Antonio the other night, because Minnesota just lost to the Clippers. They're back into first place by default. So the Lakers will be playing the top seed in the Western Conference tomorrow. Your thoughts, my friend, because if they pull that off, I think we can go ahead and see some momentum build off of that for the rest of this next 7 days.
The current schedule for the Lakers reads a lot like playing 3 different leagues in fantasy football. And you know how you run into those weeks where every opponent that you're against is a player that you have in the other league? So you have to cheer sort of for those players. So if you beat Oklahoma City tomorrow, they get out of the first seed again. Why is that relevant? Well, if the Lakers are to have any chance in the first round, their best chance probably is playing a team like Oklahoma City in the first round as an 8 seed. That's where they sit at the moment. They sit at the 10 seed, and they're not going to be below that because the team below them is, I believe, 4.5 games below them in the loss column. The Lakers are going to make the play-in. And they're looking like they're going to probably stay in a 10 spot if they continue to play win one, lose one, win two, lose one scenario. So that means you have to win 2 games to earn the 8th seed. And if you play Oklahoma City, let's say, as a first seed, you might feel a little bit better of having an upset there. Unless, of course, Denver decides that they want to win the next 6-7 games and they capture the 1 seed, then you're going to have to face Denver in the first round, which will likely be at least probably a 4 or 5 game series. So it's a very, very confusing time right now for the Lakers. They have to play Minnesota. They have to play Oklahoma City. They have to win those games. And in that moment, they're going to eliminate their chances of winning in the first round, because if they do beat Minnesota, if they do beat Oklahoma City, which are two teams that they would have a little bit more of a shot to beat in the first round than Denver, you have to beat them, and then that's going to drop them down and allow Denver to go up. So the Lakers are just not in a good spot in so many ways. The Lakers need to get out of this rut. It needs to end in a lot of ways. It needs to just finish, whether it's in the play-in, whether it's in the first round. And this management and this executive group and these players need to really, really, really look at themselves in the mirror and go, what do we want this to be here the rest of the way? You're not going to trade LeBron. You're not going to trade AD. Okay, fine. Can you use those two guys and then add some things of relevance? Number one, for the love of Mother God, Father God, Jesus Christ, whatever, can you get a coach that knows what he's doing? You have to get a coach that knows what they're doing. They're out there. You need to put some work in it. And then can you put enough guys on this team this summer to give this team some depth? And possibly one player that can really be that guy that can spell the main two. Really spell the main two. That's where my focus is right now. It's almost like I've got one leg out and my left ass cheek in. The left ass cheek is what's left of the season. I'm sitting on a seat with just one cheek. My other leg is ready to go. That's kind of where I'm at. Could I end up sitting down on both? Yeah. I could be more handsome, too. I could put some makeup on and grow my hair out. But that's irrelevant to the discussion at this point, because we're in the same way that they haven't played the games yet, so we don't know. We don't know. We have to watch this game by game, because the Lakers this year have told us that we are not consistent. We are not focused game in and game out. We are like everyone else in the NBA, except maybe the Celtics. And, you know, you can give credit to Oklahoma City and Minnesota as well. Denver. But the Lakers are not in that group. They're not winning games. They should be winning most of the year.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching, listening. Truly appreciated. Joe Intel Wild put another awesome super chat, and it's truly appreciated. He said the Lakers are currently a 1-point favorite tomorrow against the Thunder. Any thoughts on that? Just sounds like to me that Vegas sees some things that you and I say sometimes about the Lakers matching up well against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, they youth is a detriment to teams typically. And the Lakers do match up well against them, so I can see them winning. I could also see them losing, but I could see them winning more than losing. The Lakers have to win regularly the rest of the way here if they want to have any shot at allowing themselves to not have to stress into the play-in. By getting the seventh seed, which is three losses away, you allow yourself to at least know that you're going to be in the playoffs. Whether you're a seventh seed or an eighth seed, that's going to come down to how that play-in game goes. And they've been pretty good in that game the last few times they've been in it.
I just think right now, I think it's a sign that a lot of people see them matching up very well against OKC. So we'll see how it works out tomorrow in Los Angeles at the Crypt as the Lakers host the Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll be here for the pregame. During the game, of course, we got playback.tv/LakersFastBreak, our simulcast. Of course, the best postgame that's out there, the Lakers Fast Break, and topping your night off, the Lakers Nightcap with Joe Soro. So after all said and done, you see the Lakers gaining some ground. This is the toughest week for the Lakers and probably one of the toughest weeks on the schedule for any NBA team that's out there. If they do get through it in the next 7 days with a 3-1, or who knows, even a 4-0, I will find more faith in the Lakers if that happens, but I'm not sure it will.
There's 9 games, 8 of them are at home. The one game that they're not at home, it's a quick flight to Sacramento. Right now, they're 0-1 starting this. Well, technically, the Washington game was the start of their homestand. So right now, they're 1-1, and they have 8 games left in the next 9 games at home. 7-3. Can they do 7-3 in those 10 games? That would help. Which would mean, let's say, if they lose the road game in Sacramento, they'd be 7-4 from February 29th to that last home game before they go on the road again on March 24th, almost a month. 7-4 would be a good run for this team. And then they have to play 6 games on the road where they've been really, really bad on the road. They're 12-19 on the road. And these are deep Eastern Conference games. Deep East traveling games. Toronto, Washington, back-to-backs. We're talking about 2 back-to-backs in a 6-game span. They're almost playing every night for a week. They have 1 day off in between the Memphis game and the Brooklyn game. They have 2 days off in 6 games. 2 days off. For a team that already has a coach that's made and pulled every excuse that a coward can use from his so-called leadership. And that's where all this lies at the end. Your mouth, 99% of the time, will tell someone who they are. You don't even need to explain it. Now, if you're in denial, like most LeBron fans are when it comes to his ability to be great and this LeBron aura, we don't talk about him every minute. That means we don't like him. Okay. If that's your interpretation, that's on you. But Darvin Ham has verbal diarrhea on tap that tells you already who he really is and what his capabilities are. I have never seen a coach make this many excuses in my life. Coaches are supposed to tell their players, stop making excuses. This numbskull has an excuse almost every post-press conference. That's what losers, that's a loser mentality. That's a leaderless bum. Imagine that guy in a battle. Well, there are trees there. That's why they got shot. We didn't see him. Really? That's your excuse on why people didn't make it? I told you I would have fired him. I would have fired him probably in December. I would have rather have dealt with Doc Rivers' inability to close out games in the playoffs. At least Doc Rivers doesn't sugarcoat stuff. They asked him about James Harden in Philly, and he laid the smackdown on it. And guess what? He was right.
That's true.
Everything points to that in the end. Your head coach speaks like a coward. This is a grown man, supposedly from an era that had the real men, which is complete bullcrap. Real men. What does that even mean? What does 20 years ago have to do with now? Why can't you do the basics now, at least? Like, not make excuses. What, did TikTok tell you can't do that? Where they didn't, that wasn't around 20 years ago? What is that? Just saying. We all see our own problems almost the same way. I've watched telecasts where one fan base is saying, this announcer is against us. And then on the other team, the same fan there is saying the same thing. Well, which one is it? It can't be both. So maybe it's you. But in Darvinham's case, it's not. It's not you. It's not I. It's not anybody in the chat. It's him. He's the one talking. He's the one making excuses. Oh, it's injuries. Oh, we just need to make Jokic miss. You need to make Jokic miss. That's your defensive strategy. Not try to send someone to bother him, at least. Try to take that ability for him to be comfortable out of his hands. Apparently, there's no strategy to do that. Maybe funnel the ball to someone like Aaron Gordon at the three, kind of like how they use us, the Laker team. I'm saying us as in if I was Darvinham. How come they can always funnel the ball to a Cam Reddish in the corner or a Torian Prince in the corner? Where did you just learn how to coach yesterday, or did you even learn how to coach? You think that they don't do this? You don't think they plan it? Set the defense up so that this guy gets the ball over there. Why can't you at least give Jokic, at least make it a little difficult for him instead of saying, well, we hope he misses. Clown. Clowns everywhere. And they're not in the circus. If it was a circus, it'd be a different case.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching this. And don't forget, tomorrow, again, full day for you as the Lakers face off against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Pre-game, during the game, as far as, of course, our simulcast on playback.tv, South Lakers Fast Break, and, of course, YouTube and Facebook. The post-game, no one does it better than us, the Lakers Fast Break. And then the show, that there's like this cult following that you have, Joe. This following of people, hopefully it gets larger and larger. It's starting to grow a little bit more. It is the Lakers nightcap crowd for Lakers nightcap tomorrow night. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say on the nightcap as well. But before we head on out, my friend, LeBron James hitting 40,000 points. Again, all the focus and attention from the media was on that. But down the stretch, again, you said he was fatigued, and that could be the case after making those mistakes. It's just a litany of errors that a team like the Lakers makes. I know a lot of people say, oh yeah, the Lakers record, it's not justified or it's not representative of who the team actually is. I disagree. I think this season, from what I've seen, it is definitely justified their record. One step forward, two steps back. every single time. The ability to make mistakes down the stretch, poor coaching decisions, turnovers, getting out rebounded again, Joe, on the boards, especially offensive. These are things that teams like the Lakers in the current position that they're in constantly make.
Not enough talent out beyond the starters. It's difficult, especially if they are playing a lot of minutes. It's a hard game. Denver's in the Lakers' heads. So all that stuff just kind of piles on, and sometimes it's difficult to win those games. But I just don't think, I don't think there's a remedy this year as long as the leadership is what it is. And if there's a switch that can be turned on that we don't know about, at least we're going to find out here in the next month. It's been a long year. November, December, January, February, and now we're at March. So if they're going to turn this switch, if Darvin Ham's going to turn into some coach that knows what he's doing within the next month, we're going to find out. If not, there's two ways this goes, folks. There's two ways that this will likely go. Number one, they don't make it out of the play-in. Number two, they don't make it out of the first round.
Yeah. That's a tough – if they stay in 10th place, asking them to win on the road twice just to get into
– And that road, that road trip is the Grammy trip twice. It's six straight road games. After already a hectic season, this was the weirdest schedule I've seen the Lakers have in a very long time. An entire month on the West Coast, never seen that before. Two six-game road trips. One of those road trips at the worst time that you could have it in, when they're dead tired after a long season. And to top it off, you have 2 days off in those six games. 2 days off. They have to play six games with 2 days off for a bunch of pansies that aren't mentally tough with a lame coach. How are you going to be positive in that moment based off of what we've seen? The LeBron James could have saved them, maybe, in 2011. 2012, hell, 2016. Sure, he was that good. But then again, LeBron didn't play with just one guy and no depth and in the West. LeBron, and for the LeBron people, close your ears. If you don't want, you know, this is going to hurt your ears a little bit because apparently you don't understand competition. LeBron doesn't make the finals 8 years in a row in the West. I had to tell a LeBron fan this in person. He thought I was from Morocco. He didn't know what was going on in his brain. Competition matters. Competition matters. That's why it's harder in the West. And it always has been. It has been since 1999. When Michael Jordan retired, the real retirement, 1998, that was the last time the East mattered. Sure, they've won championships since, but I never really saw an East team dominate from beginning to end in any year since then. I never looked at an East team and said, oh yeah, this team is going to go all the way. Even that 2012 Miami Heat team, they were down 3-2 against the Celtics. Just, that's what that is. But now it's different. Now you gotta deal with playing these West teams four times versus two. And you only have to play them once on the road versus two. And the West teams have terrible places to play. Utah, Denver, Minnesota. places you don't want to go. Granted, I know Cleveland is a bad place. Detroit can be a bad place as well, but we're talking about teams that are good.
So, my friend, the mission set out for the next 7 days. Thunder tomorrow, Kings 2 days later, topped off by a Friday tilt against the Bucks on ESPN. And then, oh, by the way, a week from today against the Timberwolves on ESPN as well. So the task is far, my friend.
Yeah, I'm caught between whether I want the Lakers to make the playoffs or not. Unfortunately,
They are going to make the play-in at least.
Play-in is not the playoffs. The issue right now is if they don't make the playoffs, I have a good feeling that even though this draft class isn't as good, I still feel like
New Orleans.
I use the comparison to it's better to have a bird in hand than two in the bush. New Orleans is going to take that pick. It's a lottery pick. I would take it. And maybe it's a good thing because maybe the Lakers will botch that again. So many mistakes, so many bad decisions, just a terrible, terribly run season. And I started the year saying, well, Rob and Jeannie did everything right. They signed everyone. Everyone should be focused. Everyone should be thankful for getting their contracts. AR, Rui, AD got his extension. You brought in Gabe Vincent, who was an integral part of the Miami run until the finals. Well, I'm just a fan. I'm not there scouting these guys. I was trying to support that. Hey, looks like they did everything right. It's not going to be their fault. And really, it's not in a lot of ways until you realize, well, maybe it is. Maybe it is. Maybe their decisions are just not good. I was looking at it from more of a business decision standpoint. The players couldn't come back and say, hey, these guys didn't take care of us. If there's one thing that you can't knock the Lakers ever on is they take care of their players. And they did that. But the problem is they took care of the wrong ones most of the time.
We talked about it. In fact, our commenters after the fact also commented on what could have been as far as the Lakers lineup and the Lakers rotation as opposed to what we have right now. And yeah, I mean, I guess you just, the more you think about it, the more you reflect on it, the more painful it is. So all we can do is just look forward to the next 7 days to see what the Lakers can do. But it does start tomorrow against Oklahoma City. We'll be here, of course, doing the pregame, during the game, playback.tv, South Lakers Fast Break, the postgame, and of course, Lakers Nightcap with Joe Soro indeed. But Joe, my friend, JSJ says, Lakers Fast Break, do you think Ham will get fired either way?
He better.
I'm not 100% sure they will fire him.
I would be in shock if he's the coach next year.
They do have 2 years left on his contract.
I don't give a damn what they have. You got to get rid of him.
I'm agreeing with you that they should, or not they will, consider the fact I just spoke of poor decision making by the organization in the recent years. Yeah, you'll forgive me if I'm a little
scared. I'm more worried, are they capable of finding the right coach? When was the last time the Laker organization went out and hired the right coach? Phil Jackson?
Yeah.
And that was a guy that they...
Vogel, I thought, was a good choice, but you see how they treated him his entire stay.
Vogel was the third choice. That's why I'm not counting him. That wasn't even them. That was them falling back.
Well, I get that. I understand he was the third choice. I know the story. And
that's the ultimate hilarity in this. Their third choice was the best out of the three.
Yeah.
But there's those who aren't.
But they didn't give him a fair shake. So
Ty Lue apparently was the great, is this messiah of a coach, which I still don't understand to this day. Monty Williams, just seeing Monty Williams in three stints not do well, at least not do what he's been touted to be. There's this what I call Mike Tomlinitis in sports sometimes. There's a certain faction that wants someone to be successful so bad that they'll manifest something for this particular person to be good when they're not. I wish you would stop doing that. I wish people would stop doing that because the results don't say so. Stop manipulating your brain into thinking something that's not going on.
Well, Intel Wild.
I got into an argument with a guy today.
Okay.
About Stephen A. Smith. I'm not going to go into the details too much because I don't want this to turn into something outside sports. But Stephen A. Smith gets called certain things sometimes that are not true. Yes, he's loud. Yes, he's obnoxious. You have an opinion on that. You're warranted on that one. But he got criticized because apparently he's harder on particular players than other players. And this guy called him out on it. I said, what the hell are you talking about when there's a certain demographic in this league at an 80% clip? It's how is it not going to be that? You manifest these things and you create this lie in your head that this is the reason why. It's not. It's sheer numbers. It's sheer numbers that that plays out. 8 out of every 10 player in this league is a certain faction. So it's bound to happen 80% of the time. But you'll manifest it into this, oh, this is what's going on. Just like, I'll use Mike Tomlin as an example. He hasn't had a losing season ever. He's won 3 playoff games in 13 years. And he had good players. So you twist the, it's kind of like a politician. Oh, we have the greatest economy this month based off of this. Or they'll say, we had more job hirings this year than ever. You look at the job hirings and they're all minimum wage jobs. People are still broke. But you can make it sound good. Hey, we had 1 million jobs this year or this month. Stop trying to manipulate what's not there. Stop. Just stop doing it. Bill Parcells, you are what you are. And right now, the Lakers are teetering on mediocrity, a little bit better today than they were maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago. But they are a mediocre team. They are a play-in team when they shouldn't be. They should be much better than they are. You have 2 of your 5 starters that are perennial all-stars, but they're deficient in so many of the critical things that a team needs. A good coach, good discipline, focus, an identity, an A plan, a C plan, a D plan, an F plan, a G, something. What do you think the triangle offense was about in the end? It was about options that never stopped. If they guarded you this way, you move this way. If they guarded you here, you pass the ball there. Now, what you have is, a second you get stuck at the elbow. Now it's let me pass it backwards with 3 seconds left on the shot clock.
Yep. But we'll definitely see what happens. But it is the Lakers starting their really tough 7-day stretch against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Joe, it's got to start tomorrow. This whatever back.
We've said that for what, a week? No, yeah. There's no such thing as starting anything. There is no start. This is it. This is what's going on right now. It's already started. You play like you did last night for 6 games in a row, you have a very good shot at winning those games. However, Do you have the energy and the focus to do that? Are you going to get burnt out after six games and then lose the next three? This is who they are. Win two, lose one, win one, lose one, win three, maybe if it's against lackluster teams, then lose one, then lose two in a row, then win two in a row, then lose one, then win one, then lose one. This is what they've been doing all year. And if they do that the rest of the year, they're going to be in a play-in. They're going to likely be, at best, a 9 seed, let's say, if the Warriors collapse, which that's probably the only team out of the top 10 that's left that has a chance of collapsing, because there's something very fragile about that team. There's something very fragile there that's just not working. Dallas, they have Luka. He's a freak. Kings, Phoenix, they're going to probably be what they are right now. I don't see them kind of, they'll probably switch spots depending on how things play out, but they're going to be what they are right now. The two teams that could collapse are either the Warriors or the Lakers.
You don't think the Mavs?
Because the Mavs, I don't think so.
They've been sliding.
No, they have, but didn't they win seven in a row at one point?
Yeah, they did, but now they've slid, and now they're within reach of the Lakers at this.
Well, point. If when you have Luka, he can bail you out of some things. He has that capability, and Kyrie has the capability of going on a run. So we'll have to wait and see. I want them to, obviously, because it helps the Lakers, but the Lakers have to help themselves as well.
Well, we'll see what happens, my friend, but it starts tomorrow with the Lakers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Please join us for all the festivities. It is, of course, the Lakers pregame, and also as well, of course, during the game, playback.tv, South Lakers Fast Break. You can hear our live thoughts on it. It's so funny because somebody pointed out on that Lakers-Clippers game, Joe, somebody actually took the time to hear Stone's thoughts when Stone said, it, you know, game over. And of course, LeBron had his biggest comeback ever. You know, they got to call us out on it every time that, you know, that happens. Rare as it does happen to even us. Like, you know, you were out there thinking the same thing, because you were thinking the same thing in that Clippers game in the fourth quarter. But thank God the Lakers did win. But yes, join us for playback.tv, so Sacred Fast Break, for the simulcast. And then, of course, the post game and Lakers nightcap as well. But yeah, this big 7 days, big 7 days indeed.
Yeah, the nightcap, guys, it's not supposed to be this late either.
He wanted to come on and do a show. I thought we weren't going to do a show, but I'm glad we did.
We did a show here. This is kind of an emergence of a nightcap. The nightcap is still going under its construction. I haven't yet decided what it's going to be 100% yet. There's going to be a name change, though.
Oh.
There's too many nightcaps out there. I don't want to be in cool. I don't want things to be confusing down the road.
You talk about the Dodgers, like once the Lakers season
word,
over.
The word nightcap will be there still. It's just that the show will have an actual name.
Okay.
Yeah.
But again, it also has to change.
No, not nighttime with Joe Sorrell. No, I'm not going to sing you guys lullabies.
But it will have to change anyways, just by the fact once the Lakers season is over.
You guys have to understand.
Talk about the Dodgers and other stuff.
What is it? Litigious? We have a society that's very, very Sue happy.
Litigious, I think.
Litigious. That's it. That's the word. We have a litigious culture. So if I coin nightcap down the road, some a-hole is going to get pissed off and go, hey, I thought of that first. Take it off. And then I got to go suck an egg. And then I have to deal with the lawyer, because that's what cowards do.
Talk to my lawyer. We know a pretty cool one that likes the channel. So
yeah, well, I'm not, you know, I have one of my best friends is a lawyer too, but I hate lawyers.
Okay.
All right. But I hate people who use that as their.
Well, you live in California. It's the Sue Happy capital of the planet.
Everybody's Sue Happy. California is not the only state that does that.
I remember in 80s and 90s, we were, when I lived there, we were always kidding about that. It's like, watch out, someone's gonna sue you. Shop, you know, just like you drive on the road, watch out.
It's what's destroyed schools. Everyone thinks, oh, well, the government, and oh, they're allowing the flag to fly left instead of, no, it has nothing to do with that. Trust me, I have kids that go to school. The problem, you know what the problem is in school? Parents. Entitled parents. I'm a parent, so I should know this.
I would agree.
Entitled parents who don't know how to raise children, who blame the schools because they suck donkey ass in raising their children. That's why. And the second the teacher or the administrator doesn't do what they want, we're going to sue you. Yeah.
Teachers live, you know, somebody's asked me on more than one occasion to be a teacher because I say I communicate well, I get along with people, you know, and whatnot. But I'm like, hell no, because you are so restricted on what you can and cannot say in the classroom these days from when you and I and everybody else in the chat that has already graduated and moved on from in life was when they were in school. It is so far removed from what I experienced. There's absolutely no way.
Absolutely. I hit a target with a parent once with that. She started talking like a child. You, how dare you judge me? I'm like, you just proved my point. Look how angry you are. Look how angry you are. I'm a parent too. Guess what? My kids have respect. My kids understand they're not going to get their way. The teacher got mad at them in daycare. Did you see me doing jumping jacks saying, don't say that to my kid? The first question I said was, what happened? What'd you do? My kids start crying. She knew she messed up. She learned her lesson. Every teacher loved us for that. These teachers are taking care of 30, 40 kids at a time. 15, 16 of them are little punks, just like their parents are. And you want them to deal with that. You know what my dad used to say when I used to come home and say the teacher didn't like me? He goes, what did you do? I go, I didn't do anything. He goes, what did you do? He goes, your teacher's not going to just not like you for no reason. That doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to listen to this. Kids are stupid. That's time to be stupid is when you're a kid. You don't know enough. You're a kid. So to think that some teacher doesn't like you, sure, there's the exceptions. But why is this teacher going to pick you out of the thing and say whatever? And by the way, who cares? That's the other part. That's the other part. So someone doesn't like you. Deal with it. Learn right now. That's how you deal with it. It's resonated from schools to the workplace, sports, all that stuff. It does. No. Toughen up. Grow some nuts. That includes girls too, figuratively. Stop being a baby. And parents, if you can't raise your children, put them up for adoption and let somebody that knows what the hell they're doing teach them what's right and wrong. Because I've talked to enough teachers, believe me. And I know there's some out there that stink, but most of them don't stink. Especially nowadays. Anybody that wants to be a teacher now, it's like trying to be a cop now. It's an impossible job.
Yeah, I agree. That's exactly why I said no. It's like, I don't want the stress.
I was, you know, we grew up not liking cops. But we didn't like cops for normal reasons. Because they always gave us tickets when we were speeding and parking the wrong way. It was normal stuff why we didn't like cops. I didn't say I didn't like cops because they were existing. I'm just saying. It's, you know, take some responsibility for your shittiness for once.
But it is the Lakers fast break. Thanks so much for joining us. Truly appreciate you doing so. Joe, great to have you here. Glad we got a chance to go ahead and connect with the audience again. Hopefully we were able to provide some clarity as the Lakers head into, again, as I said before, and I'll say it, I'll stress it again, one of the toughest weeks for any NBA team the next 7 days. You thinking 3-1, 2-2 over the next four games? Thinking 2-2.
That's a good movie, Dante. Yeah. Lead On Me was good.
2-2
Next four games? I'm not going to predict anything. Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
All right.
Just win tomorrow. We'll deal with it tomorrow first.
And we'll talk about it tomorrow, as only we can, with, of course, the pregame, during the game, postgame, and Lakers nightcap. So join us for a great schedule tomorrow as the Lakers play against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And we'll see what happens. Intel, congratulations again. Hopefully, when you're here now in Vegas or when you come back, you come by and let me know. I'll come out there and see you. Just hit me up on an email, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. We'd love to go ahead and meet you and thank you for everything that you've done for us here at the Lakers Fast Break. So for Joe Sorrell, it's Gerald Glasser. Thanks so much for watching, listening. Big shout out to everyone in the best Lakers chat room that's out there. And big shout out to all of you that support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.